Okay, so now the sixth parak, which is Parak HaOseh Shlosh Pit Putin. The question is like this. There are ways you can make ad hoc clay cheres. What would be an ad hoc kiraim? So even if you just make like a little triangle and you put it on the ground and all that you do is they're attached with clay. And that is just good enough. You're out on a camping trip, so you have these pieces, sticks you put in the ground, connect them with clay, and make a fire underneath them, put a pot on top of them. That is considered also to be a, how would you say, something that is makeshift. Like you just made on the spot. So over there, if you're able to light it, then it would be tummy. But if you put three nails in the ground, so over there, even though you took a piece of clay, put it on top, then it's tahar. Because even though they would be a perfectly useful, as good as the other one, but they are considered to be a kli that is made out of metal. And because of that, it's not going to be makabel tuma because it's mechubar lekarka. Now, you can also take two big stones, put them down, put a little piece on top that is made out of clay. And there we have a machlokas, whether according to the Tanakhama, it's tameh. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's tahar. You need to either have them against a wall or you need to have a third. But just with two, without any sides or anything, is not considered to be a kli, according to Rabbi Yehuda. How about if you'd have a stone that is next to an oven? You put a stone next to the oven, you put a pot on top of the stone, or next to a kira, either or next to a kupach. Point is, over here, that makes the stone part of this makeshift cooking device, and therefore, even though normally clay avonim are not makabel tuma, this becomes a kli cheres. If the stone that you had attached over here is made with another stone, so it's alev ala evan, or alev ala sela, or alev al hakotel, then it's just a stone. And because of that, you do not have anything that is made out of evan is not mekabel tuma, out of cheres. And actually, the Nazirim in Yerushalayim used to do that, and they would just have their carbon shlomim that they had to cook. Remember, well, how the heck did they get a stove over there to be able to cook? This is what they would do. They would take these stones. Commercial kirot. So over there, if you put a lot of, remember we had the case of a caterer. A caterer has got a wedding. His wedding is being done outside. He's got 300 guests. How in the world is he going to do this? He puts a bunch of stones, one next to the other. He's going to have 50 stones beneath the two stones, every two stones. He makes a fire. And then the question is, if one of them becomes tameh, what would be the din of the other stones? Are they all considered to be now mechuber, like one giant kiraim, or not? The din is that no, they are not. Each one has got a din of its own thing. And how about, let's just take a case of three stones, making two kiraim out of them, and one of, that means, so what we've got over here is two places to cook with three stones. Now the question is, what is the din of the middle stone? The middle stone can be seen as part of the right one or part of the left one. And the din is that it goes according to the thickness. So the part that's on this part that is tameh, the other part is tahar. And what about if you took out one of the other two stones? So the moment that you take off the other stone, then the middle stone, whether it was the right one, which is tameh, and the left one, that's tahar, the middle one now becomes completely nogea, whatever the halacha was. If the right one was tahar, now the middle one, being the outside one, becomes tahar, and vice versa, obviously. How about if the both of the outside ones had become tameh? So then if there was enough room on the middle one that you could have two pots on at the same time, one being balanced to the right, one being balanced to the left, so then the din would be that enough of it that would be useful for the right and enough of it that would be useful for the left is tameh, but anything else would be tara. But if it's too small for that, then obviously the whole thing would be tameh. We also had the question of if you take away the middle one, and it depends whether it's still enough space to take a giant samovar and put it on the two stones, then it would still be considered to be useful. If not, then obviously the whole thing has been broken, and it would be useless. Okay. Then we had the question of if you've got two avanim that you didn't make into an oven, but you made it into a kira, and they went ahead and became tameh, and now you add avanim to each side. So then again, half of the tameh, half of the original stone is tameh, the other half that's nogeah, the new oven, is tahar on both sides. If you took away those two stones, so then basically it goes back to its original status, and that is the seventh perek, the sixth perek. Moving on now to the seventh perek. Let me just get that. Okay, so the way that I defined it was in terms of chalakim chaserim. So you're missing parts of the oven, and you need to move it further away because of the breakdown in the base. The fire ends up moving away from the inside of the kira. What happens there? So kolatot are the bases of it. So let's say something happened, it was nifchatat, cracked, and now the fire is very low away from the surface. It's no longer where it was originally. What would be the shear of how far, I'm trying to find you guys, you've disappeared, yeah. So how far can it sink? So if it's less than 3 tefachim, so then it's still considered to be tameh. Because even if you heat it that low, it's still going to be able to keep things hot on top. But if it's more than 3 tefachim away from the top, then it's tar. Now, suppose you now try to bring the fire up by adding, you know, stones on the bottom. It's still Torah, because that doesn't make it into a kli, obviously. On the other hand, if you took some clay and you put clay at the bottom over the stones, then it would be a new kira, and that would be a perfect clay kind of issue. Now, when Rabbi Yehuda said before, remember we had the whole machlokas in Masechet Shabbat, if you take the oven and you put it on top of a pit, and over there we had the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachomim about whether if it's heated, you support it with a couple of little stones around the side, and the Chachomim say, look, I don't care where it is you heat it, it's still going to be considered to be a tanur. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, only if it's heated directly from inside the pit. If you have to build up the fire, it's not considered to be a tanur. Said the Mishnah, this is actually the mark of Rabbi Yehuda. Zohaita tshuvat Rabbi Yehuda about the case of the tanur that was put al pi abor, al pi or al pi adut, because over here we're saying it has to be able to be heated from within. And that's how we got to the 3 tefachim. Now, if you've got additional things, let's say you add a shelf to a kira, and it's got really a place that you could put the pots that you take off of the kira. It also has like these little indentations that the pot fits in. So then it's not part of the kira, but it is a kli on its own because that has base kibble for the pot. And now the question is, if that kira becomes tameh, there is one part of it that might become tameh, and that would be the sides of that shelf. So if something touches them, so then it's not going to become tameh because of the din of the kira, but the whole back of it, where it's connected, the entire length of the shelf, that is a machlokas according to Rabbi Meir. It's not metame according to Rabbi Yehuda, is metame. The same thing would be true. Let's say you take a basket, you turn the basket upside down, and you make a kira on top of it, which is not supported by that basket. It's holding that bottom of the kira, but it extends longer than the kira does. So that's also not considered a part of kira. it's considered to be basically a Kli Eitz, and therefore doesn't have the dinim of the Tumah. Now, remember that a Kira has two places for pots on top. So if you cut it, therefore, along its length, you destroyed it, because now it can't keep anything. If you cut it along its width, then you still have a place to put one pot on top of either side. It's still considered to be a Kira. And a kupach, obviously, which only has one place, wouldn't make any difference whether it was to the length or the width. We spoke about making a chatzar. We had about a building a piece around a tanur. If you build a piece around a kira, the din is that it would have to be shlolosh etzbaot, like the shear of the kira itself. It would be metame, b'maga, and b'avir. But if it's less than three tvachim, it doesn't have a din. It would be metame b'maga, because it is a kli, but it's not metame b'avir, because there is no toch in this. At what point do you start measuring it? Remember that we have over here a diagonal, because on one side, the inside of the kira is higher, and we're talking about where the rim around it is lower. How do we measure the three tvachim? Because, I mean, on one side, it's as tall as the kira. So what we do is, remember, we
doesn't
take...
Rebbe mean three exposed? No? Doesn't Rebbe mean three exposed?
Yes. What did I say?
Rebbe's been saying tvachim recently.
Oy vey, I'm so sorry. Ay, ay, ay. Change all of that. I meant... I'll have to start all over. I mean, it's terrible. But every place I said tefach benogei akira is ridiculous. Obviously, it's shalosh etzbos. So how do we measure the shalosh etzbos? By a diagonal. So you take a spit, you put it along the side, and that would be the way to measure it. The din over there is, if according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, if the kira is tameh, the chotzer is tameh, but the chotzer is not good enough to be considered to be the kira itself. Now, let's say it wasn't attached, bichlal, this additional piece. So then, if it itself is three tvachim, it's a separate kli, and it can be metameh b'maga, and it can be metame with its own avir, but let's say that it's completely tahar. Okay, what about if you add pipute kira? That means you put on these little feet at the bottom, and each of them are three etzbaot high, so then they're considered to be part of the kira itself, and they even have avir to be metame. And if it's less than that, so then they're part of the kira, then for sure they're tamei. And the truth is, if you've got 4 feet, they can also, even normally you don't, but if you put 4 feet there, it would also be mekabel tumah. How about if you take off one of the 3 feet? Now, that would mean that it invariably will have to tilt to the side, because it's now not going to be entirely in contact. So then the halacha is that it's not metame ba'avir, because they're not really a kli. The only din of the tumah over here is the rabbanan, and as Rabbi Meir says, again, the rabbanan make that difference to make sure you don't burn truma v'kachim. Rabbi Shimon says, forget it. It's not metame at all, even in rabbanan, because 2 feet are not considered to be a support whatsoever. Suppose you made initially only 2 feet, but you put them on a diagonal. You put them on the opposite side as opposed to the diagonal. So that gives it a little bit of stability. Then, according to Rabbi Meir, it's metame. Ba'avir also, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not metame. If the feet themselves are more than shalosh etzbos, so then the halacha is that from beneath shalosh etzbos, they're considered to be their own kira, and they're metame b'maga b'avir. Above that, they are metame b'maga. They're not metame b'avir, at least according to Rabbi Meir. And again, that's because it's the Rabbanan, Rabbi Shimon, also totally tar. How about if the feet are not directly underneath, and there's a space between the legs of the kira and the actual body of the kira itself? If it's within shalosh etzbaot, then you can still have avir. If it's out, you can only have tumah b'maga, according to Rabbi Meir. And again, Rabbi Yehuda disputes all of these cases where he doesn't believe there's a takana d'rabbanan of extensions like this on the kira. And here too, how do we measure that distance? Because where do we measure the shalosh etzbos from? And they're offset. So where do we measure it from? So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, You basically put a measuring piece, you put a stick between the feet, and from the level of three etzba'ot of 1 foot and the three etzba'ot of the other foot, so from the ruler, whatever you're using, to measure it, it would be tahar. And if a sheretz falls outside of the line that you drew, so then it's tar, because that's not considered to be avir. And if it's from the ruler in, so then it's tameh, similar to the measurement that we had before when we were talking about the case of the measuring from up on top.